When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleagues Michael Yon and Chuck Holton. Michael and Chuck, both of you can find their postings on their travels at locals.com, locals.com/Chuck Holton and locals.com/Michael Yon. Chuck also makes videos at the Hot Zone. His video of his time in the Umbara village known as Valle Chiquito was extremely revelatory for what's going on in the new world. The migrants at the Mexican border are not only coming from the Northern Triangle. That is only a piece of the story. They're coming globally from the old world. We've talked about the Nepalese. We've talked about the people from Senegal. We've talked about the people from all through Eurasia traveling in some fashion arduously over a long period of time where they can get in knowing that perhaps the United States will let them in. The EU has been in the similar situation these last years since the beginning of the Syrian conflict that disrupted everything in the Levant. But as Michael and Chuck are now educating me to understand, the movement towards the EU is not just about Syria. It's about all of North Africa and the migrants and the smugglers. So, Michael, I want to come to you. What people have you met? From where in your time in Morocco? You mentioned Algeria. Have you met people from Central Africa? Have you met people from Asia? Have you heard stories of them, Michael?
Well, we've heard a lot of stories. For instance, let's talk about Morocco. Chuck and I were talking with you when we were moving in the car. And remember, we came across three Africans from Cameroon. And so I think we were actually chatting with the video, and you actually saw them. So there's many types coming over here, and I'm looking at the Spanish city of Ceuta here. Even though I'm in Morocco, I'm in Africa, but I see the Spanish city of Ceuta. When the Africans can get into Ceuta, many of those are allowed to get in further up into the EU. Of course, Ceuta is the EU. It's a member, it's a Spanish city, so right. Spain's part of the EU. But the Algerians, they're actually kicking back out.
Chuck, the three young men you came across yesterday, you also saw young men in the plazas and the commons in Athens when you were there. Michael and I talked. There were also young men in all of the large cities you travel to. These are young men who are dislocated and they're looking to continue to move on. What do the authorities in Greece make of these young men? What do the authorities in Morocco? Is there a hostile relationship? Is there an indifference? Is there a generality between these places, Chuck?
Yeah, I think we see a lot of similarities in every place that we go. It's obvious that this crush of migrants, and this, as you were very accurate to depict it as a great migration of the entire third world to the first world. That's what we're talking about. Any country that is in the developing world or the third world is wanting to move to the first world, and they're finding out that it's actually pretty easy to do. You might have to walk for a couple of weeks or take a boat ride, but you can do it. And if you can do it, this Algerian that's here with us that has been explaining to us his motivations, and he's like, I grew up with 17 brothers and sisters. My father was Muslim, had three wives, and he said, if I can just get into Germany, they will give me free housing and that I'll only have to share it with three people. Can you imagine living in a house with only four people in the house? I can't even fathom that. And it's free. They'll give it to you. And not only that, they'll give you 1,500 euros a month to live on. That's like winning the lottery for us. So there's a huge pull factor inside the EU because of the quote unquote humanitarian efforts of them, of these, you know, EU countries to help people resettle. But again, these are economically motivated migrants and not asylum motivated migrants. This gentleman that's here with us right now came from Algeria. If he was in fact persecuted in Algeria, he certainly is not persecuted here in Morocco. When you ask about the relationship between the police and them, he's definitely afraid of the police. As he's been with us today, every time a policeman goes by, he gets real stiff and real worried. And he's even pointed out certain ones and said, those kind of police are very brutal. They're very mean. But at the same time, talking with the police, they'll say, you know, we're being overrun by these people. And we're trying to discourage them from, because anything we do to make their lives easier only means more of them are going to come. And ultimately what that leads to is more people dying along the way.
Border crossings. Michael, you've crossed from Panama to Mexico. You've crossed from Mexico to Panama via New York onto Greece. Through Paris, I believe you went through France, and now you've traveled from into the Bulgarian border, where you saw gambling dens. You looked at Turkey, and now you're in Morocco, looking at the EU. Pandemic. What are the restrictions? What are the limitations about the pandemic? Or is this movement indifferent to the pandemic? What's your experience, Michael?
The migration has definitely been affected by the pandemic. For instance, down in Panama, they got locked. You know, of course, Chuck has a home in Panama. They got locked down for a year. That really stopped the migrants for quite a while. In fact, they rioted down there and burned a bunch of cars, and some migrants went to prison, that sort of thing. And likewise, it's had some effects in other places. But they do keep coming. And speaking of Panama and Darien Gap, you remember the man who was lost for 22 days looking for his Cuban wife. He's been messaging me today. He's in Nicaragua now. He's trying to get a passport to get back to Ecuador because he's Ecuadorian. Mm-hmm. And, his embassy was closed in Costa Rica because of the pandemic. So he's now gone up to Nicaragua to try to find an open Ecuadorian embassy so he can get a passport because he lost his passport out in the jungle. And, he lost it in Panama after he was apprehended, actually. And he's, trying to get back to Ecuador. So, yeah, the pandemic has definitely slowed down at times and caused migrants to pause, but they're still going.
Quick.
Now, at the same time.
Yeah, go ahead, Chuck. We've got about a minute.
Quick,
about a minute. Go ahead.
International travel has obviously been greatly complicated by the COVID crisis. And the one group of people who has not been as affected by all the testing requirements, and Michael and I have had to take so many tests and, you know, get all these different requirements we have to fulfill to cross borders. These people just simply jumped the border. And so most of them have not been as affected, although it's gotten difficult for them to do so, because a lot of those pull factors have been turned off for a time, but they're coming back.
Do you see distancing or masking or vaccine offered in Morocco?
No.
Did you see it in Greece? Did you hear in Alexandroupoli? Did you see talk of masking or distancing or vaccine, Chuck?
You did not see a lot of masking. There was more there than there is here in Morocco. Mostly just if you go inside a pharmacy or someplace like that, they'll ask you to put a mask on. But for the most part, no. And especially among the migrants, you don't see any masking.
Right.
You don't see any distancing.
Chuck Holton at Hot Zone.
Let me say one thing. The policeman, when I came through immigration in Morocco, was not wearing a mask.
Okay.
So there you go.
Locals.com/Michael Yon, Locals.com/Chuck Holton. Chuck Holton is also on YouTube in Hot Zone. They are now in Morocco looking at the EU in North Africa. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Extreme cold weather advisory in effect this morning.
You're a contractor. You have a contract.
All right, guys, come on. Let's do this.
A little snow and ice isn't stopping you. Not today, not any day. Shouldn't your flashing tape be working through it all too? Only Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tapes, high performance acrylic adhesive, sticks, re-sticks, and stays stuck, even on the roughest surfaces in rain, snow, heat, and more. So you stay in control when it matters most. Show weather who's boss with Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard-of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.